Welcome to Comic Culture on 93.3 CFMU, McMaster Radio, and podcast at comicbookdaily.com. I am your co-host, Walter Duralia, joined as always by my illustrious co-host, Chris Owen, who is professor of comic book history at Hamilton's Mohawk College. Chris.
Walter, how are you today?
Chris, I'm doing great today. You?
I'm doing fantastic. You know, and it's Wednesday. It's a scant few days away from Free Comic Book Day coming up this Saturday, but we're going to get to that more later on in the show. But first off, as always, let's find out what's happening in new releases for today.
All right, Chris, we'll start the show with new releases. Marvel has Invincible Iron Man number 25 coming out today, and that's a bit of a tie-in with the Marvel movie,
right?
And a bit of a tie-in with Free Comic Book Day, right, as well. It's a double-sized issue. It's being co-released alongside, you know, the Iron Man 2, which is coming out in a week. And Marvel has it as a jumping on point, so it's a beginning of a new arc.
Right, right. Well, you know, this really is going to be a big next couple weeks for Marvel, with Free Comic Book Day coming out soon, this Saturday.
Yep.
And then a scant week after that, we've got this Iron Man 2 coming out.
Well, they did well with Kick-Ass, I think.
It did very well with Kick-Ass, and it's still doing well in the box office, even though it's not, even though some of the hardcore critics aren't enjoying it as much.
I don't think they got it.
I don't think they get the joke. I don't think they quite get it, but sure enough, it is doing well with the public, and Iron Man 2 is coming out in a week or two, and you know, I myself am dying to see that. I can't wait.
I know. And I think Marvel could have timed the release of Marvel Invincible Iron Man 25 probably for a week later.
Yeah.
But
you know what? I actually like this idea, because you were talking, you mentioned there that in this particular issue, it's going to be a jumping on point.
Yes.
And that's always an issue. No pun intended. That's always an issue for readers, because they never know when to start. They don't want to jump in on a book because they're thinking there's too much history. They don't know how to.
On. And I guess the important thing for Marvel is when people are happy with the movie and they head into their local comic stores.
Right.
There is something there for them to pick up and for the staff at the store to recommend.
Absolutely, you know, and certainly there's lots of great Marvel Iron Man stories out there.
Right.
And, you know, it's funny, there was a lot of great ones in the past, and there's a lot of great ones coming out now.
Yeah.
So really, there's a lot of great stuff that's coming out from Iron Man. Of recent note, I remember there was an Iron Man series by that Orson Scott Card guy.
Orson Welles. The War of the Iron Men. Run!
I don't think it was Orson Welles.
Okay.
I think it was Orson Scott Card, who also wrote Ender's Game, a famous novel. But Iron Man certainly has a fan following, and I'm looking forward to the movie, looking forward to seeing what's going on.
Me too.
Okay.
And we'll touch on an Iron Man Free Comic Book Day comic later.
Yeah.
On the DC side, Superman number 699.
Oh.
Hits the stands today, almost obviously the issue before the landmark issue.
Yes.
Brainiac story arc. Superman, I wanted to bring this up. He's holding those two titles strongly still, Action and Superman.
Yeah.
And plus, you know, some miniseries is on the side. I mean, you know, the thing with Superman I wanted to touch on is that, what do you do with Superman?
Well,
obviously, they're doing good things with Superman because he's doing great.
And, you know, this is just it. Like, how do you keep a character that's 80 years old fresh, right?
Yeah.
So how do you keep a character like that fresh without changing him too dramatically so that people don't recognize who he is, but at the same time coming with new story arcs that people are interested in them?
Put a mullet on
him. Hey, you know, that was done in the 80s.
Was it?
Yeah. John Bogdanov, one of the artists, did that a lot. Long hair and, good
put
times.
Put him in a blue, stupid-looking suit.
Hey, well, that was done, too.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, I got one.
Yeah.
Kill him.
If only you were around about 20 years ago, you would have made a killing in the comic book editing and story idea,
right, Mark. Where were these ideas 20 years
ago? Yeah, I know. All right. Now you got to come up with something else, like, you know, turning Superman into Fat Superman or something like that.
Yes, turning Superman into Herbie.
There you go. Perfect. Little plug there for you there, Mark. We know how much you like Herbie.
Yes. You know what? Because we have a busy show, I'm just going to cut it off at the two.
Okay.
Obviously, as always, new comics coming in today, new graphic novels coming in today. Check your local comic shop. Peruse. The new issues,
yes.
And I'm sure you'll find something you'll like.
Sounds good.
All right. Diving right into some industry news. I got this off of comicbookdaily.com.
Okay.
And Archie. You know, Archie's made a lot of press recently over the wedding.
Certainly, yeah.
Betsy and Veronica.
The six-issue miniseries of note.
The big news for this year is the introduction of the character Kevin Keller.
Kevin Keller.
KK.
This is one of the things that really seems to be popular with comic book characters in general,
mm-hmm.
is that they have both their first and last name starting with the first letter.
Right.
And the same
letter.
Let's
digress totally.
Yes.
Okay? Have they ever figured out what the LL infatuation was with the Superman writers, with Lana Lang, Lois Lane,
Lex Luthor.
Have they ever figured out?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
But certainly there is something there.
All right.
But you know, but having said that, you know, I remember reading an article about Stan Lee, and he used to say, "This is Stan Lee." He used to say that he used to like to create characters that had the first letter for both his first and last names because he had trouble remembering the names of the characters that he would write. So
J. Jonah Jameson.
Exact. Peter Parker.
Peter Parker.
Yeah, all that kind of stuff.
Okay.
So, but whether or not that was true, I think that was more
Bruce
than half
Banner.
That's right. We'll see. But Kevin Keller, what's the story with
Kevin Keller? Keller is in Veronica number 202, hitting the stands, I think, in the fall. He will be the first openly gay character in the Archie universe.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Kudos to Archie Comics for coming up with that. Now, of course, this is having gay characters is not anything new in comic books. Certainly, we've had Marvel have their fair share of
who was that guy in Alpha Flight? He was kind of the first major one.
North Star was the character. He came out.
Kate Kane, the new Batwoman,
That's right, and she's a lesbian.
Yep,
and you know, I think that it's fantastic that comic books are keeping up with the times and that they're introducing gay characters and all that kind of stuff.
Well, because I'm sure, I mean, the readership does not.
Sure,
readership of comics. How can I say it? Adolescents relate to their characters.
Yeah.
Right. That's part of what comics helps. A certain strain of comics helps people relate to the character and stuff, and obviously people will relate to Kevin Keller.
Yeah.
Now there is like an undercurrent, I guess, in the web community, whether it's tokenism by Archie Comics or whether it is a progressive thing. So that's the debate right now.
You know what? Call it tokenism, call it progression, whatever. I think it's a good thing.
Yes,
I think I think at the beginning of any kind of movement of any kind of social rights activism, you can call it, mm-hmm. especially, you know, they used to talk about, you know, token black characters, token Chinese characters in movies, things like that. But certainly that was a starting point for these characters,
right.
for the social issues, right?
Right.
So
right.
I think it's a great thing.
Excellent. All right. Good. I'll put that one over here, Chris.
We've
done that, so we don't repeat that.
Yeah, we don't want to do that.
All right.
All right.
Remember a few months ago, we actually covered this story twice as it developed. The Frank Frazetta fiasco where his kid
stole.
He had the backhoe going, but then we later learned that it was Frank's blessing that they did that. Well, apparently that whole dispute has been settled. So all charges have been dropped on Frank Jr. for trying to break in. And Frank Sr. Had a trademark infringement lawsuit against Frank Jr. for operating a website. So all that thing has been settled.
Oh, well, that's good.
Details of the settlement aren't public.
Right.
But I guess it's important to know that all is well in the house of Frazetta.
Right, right. Well, you know, that's nice to know, because really, Frank Frazetta, he really is a modern master. I mean, he will die, and then 10, 20 years after his death, people will really begin to take a look and take note of his artwork. I know that they already have now.
Yes.
But that is in a very small illustrator fan community, I think.
Yes.
I don't think the fans of what I would call fine art really have found his artwork, and I think it really belongs.
I think they
will.
I think if you look at 20th century illustrators of pop culture type stuff, and in there we can include guys like
Norman Rockwell,
like Vargas, like Alvgren, like I think Frazetta will probably be the piece that will fetch the most.
Oh, absolutely.
His pieces
absolutely
will be identified as that pop culture kind of, you know, the things to own.
For sure. Yeah, and you know what? The thing with Frank Frazetta is, I mean, here's a guy that had his own museum for a long time. Still actually has it, but it was just sort of like not open to the public anymore. Had his own museum, open to the public for a long time. His pieces of artwork generally weren't sold to the public. There are a few collectors out there who had access to them, guys like George Lucas and Steven Spielberg owned Frazetta artwork.
Yep.
But we're talking, they paid hundreds of thousands of dollars for this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Now, Frazetta did some movie posters for this type of guy.
Absolutely. You know, and of course, that's part and parcel with one of the reasons why he's so popular.
Mm-hmm.
But I think eventually, you know, you're looking at a guy who his artwork is very well crafted. He's got a certain style to him, and once he's gone, I think his art is going to fetch big bucks. Let's not forget here for a quick second here. I know I'm digressing, but
that's what we're good at. We're very good at digressing.
But you got guys like Salvador Dali. Mm-hmm. Were alive only up until, like, you know,
20-ish
decades
years ago.
Yeah, 15, 20 years ago, and now, of course, I mean, these are guys that had huge movements in the art community, and once they passed away, really, their artwork has soared.
Andy Warhol.
Yeah, so this is the kind of stuff that I think eventually, once he passes away, you can be seen as pop art right now. Once he's gone, it's really going
to
take
off.
Well,
we want Frank to hang in there for a while.
Yeah, absolutely, so, absolutely.
But I think you are right. Now, I'm going to move on to some other news on to Marvel. Marvel has announced their intentions to go and try to make some smaller movies, like some movies that aren't huge blockbusters with characters like, say, the Dazzler, or with Kazar.
I would love to see a Dazzler movie. Yes. I'm telling you right now, I would pay big dollars to see that.
Yes.
Or Kazar. I think it'd be fantastic.
This is something where they would spend maybe $20-25 million in production, and they have a fan base now. I mean, okay, Kazar, but I don't know. I could think of a couple of other ones I'd like to see. I'd like to see, you know, I don't know, Squirrel Girl. You know, have Chip and Dale as guest hosts.
Why would you have to go with Squirrel Girl of all the characters you could possibly
Indubitably
think of? After you, but I insist. No, after you, please.
Oh, here's Squirrel Girl.
You know what? Certainly, a Dazzler movie would be awesome. Any kind of lesser known X-Men type character, I think it'd be great.
But any kind of like a lesser known character from Marvel, and I think that's great. I think that's great too. I think, who was it? Remember the guy that made those films with the women with the big boobs?
Oh, that would be Russ Meyer.
I knew you'd know. Okay. Now, here's my point.
Yeah.
My points are...
Point in the right direction.
Right.
Yeah.
Remember when Clouseau, the woman with the big breasts, and he looks at
Panther,
her, and he goes, "And you too," you know, and then he looks at her breasts and goes, "And you too should be ashamed of yourself."
Right.
I guess my point is that success, we're measuring success based on You know, did you win the box office weekend? Did you crack $1 billion in sales? You know, and it's all relative. And I think what Marvel's doing here is great. It's going, hey, you know, if we invest 20, 25 million, so what? The thing pulls out 60, 70 after its run of movies and DVDs and whatever. Yep. We're in the black.
We're still making money.
We're still making money. Yeah. Well, and that Russ Meyers guy, same thing. Like, my point is, he knew he wasn't A-list.
That's right. Oh, yeah, absolutely. He knew he had a niche market.
Yes.
And he played up to it, and he made a lot of money doing it, and I'm sure he had a blast doing it, too. Uh-huh. And you know what? The reality is that Marvel has a canon of characters that has to be in the thousands, right?
Yes.
That can probably, you know, I'm sure there are a lot of characters out there that can't and will never have a big budget blockbuster movie. But, you know, you give them a few bucks and give them a little movie, and I'm sure there's a strong fan base enough around the Marvel canon that would love to see that kind of stuff.
Absolutely right. Yeah. So I think it's a great move by Marvel, and I hope that they follow through with it. That's all.
That's right. That's awesome. Yeah.
Hey, great news out of DC as well.
Okay.
They are planning a Batman tour. Think of this as like a Cirque du Soleil. Like, it's a traveling arena tour.
Okay.
Based on theatrics involving Batman and his villains.
Oh, really?
So, you know, you basically come... It's almost like the circus coming to town.
Okay.
And it's like a huge production, but it's not like, I guess, Marvel's, you know, play that they're doing in New York where it's kind of set and it's always
right. This is like it travels around.
It travels around.
So we'll get to see, like, the ventriloquist, you know, on a trapeze and... you know, all the, like, Joker singing the blues.
I don't exactly know. I don't... Obviously, it's going to have to do with a lot of, like you say, aerial stuff. And I have no idea. I can just picture, hooray, hooray, hooray.
Maybe we'll see the penguin singing Short People or something. Yeah. Short people ain't got no reason. Right.
I don't know. But I think it's great. I think it's exciting.
You know, I think it would be a lot of fun. As long as it's done in a... classy but tongue-in-cheek sort of way, like people are going to know that they're seeing a comic book sort of Cirque du Soleil, but at the same time have it be fun.
Now, what would they do here? Would they gear this toward like a Shriner's Circus? Would they gear toward kids?
This is just
it. Or would they do like a...
What is their audience, right? I have no idea.
Right. It would be like a WWF where there's a ring and then, you know, Batman beats up on the Joker and... goes off the Superfly Snuka Batman movie.
Sweet. That'd be awesome.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's I would say that's interesting developments out of DC.
Interesting.
All right. On the Conan front.
Oh, more news about Conan.
Well, Conan, Roy Thomas.
Oh, yeah.
Is coming back to do a 12-issue large arc.
Okay.
For Dark Horse. So he's writing.
Now, in case people don't know who Roy Thomas is, Roy Thomas penned a lot of the original Marvel comics as well.
I think he wrote for a good decade or so.
Well, at least. Yeah, he wrote for a long, long time. Like, that's sort of was his baby for a long time.
Yeah, and when, don't forget, I don't think people can over-exaggerate how important Conan was to Marvel, say, in the early 70s.
For sure, yeah.
That adaptation from Robert E. Howard, from the pulps and stuff, into comic book form, was a massively huge success in 1970.
Yeah, yeah. Huge. I remember even when I was in grade school, I remember the big book to... like, I mean, people used to talk about X-Men and Iron Man and that kind of thing, but I remember people would be like, oh, you've got a Conan 1? Oh, that's cool, right? Like, that was it was a big deal at the time. And it's hard to understand that now, but yeah.
Now, if you go back to... remember Marvel had those clip them and collect them Marvel value stamps?
Yeah.
In 1974, 75. You know, 74, 75, this is 4 years after Conan left the gate. So this is, he's into issue 40-ish or so, whatever. Just to show you how important he was to Marvel at the time, he was value stamp number 3.
Was he really?
No, Spider-Man was number 1.
Right.
And I think Hulk was number 2.
And he was number 3 before Captain America.
Yep.
Wow.
He was number 3 value stamp.
You know what? Even as a comic book historian, I still learn things every day.
Yes.
That's
good. All right. On your test next year, you know what you're trying to find.
Right. Yeah. Who was Marvel value stamp number 3?
Who was Marvel?
There was a Sheena one too, if I remember.
That No, Shanna.
Shanna.
Yeah, the She-Devil.
Shanna the She-Devil, right.
And that's one of the most famous value stamps, only because, obviously, the Clip'em and Collect'em movement made the books they came out of almost useless.
Right, because the people were cutting stamps out of the books.
And fortunately for most collectors, most of the books they're cutting out of weren't really worth anything to begin with.
Right.
They still aren't.
Yeah, yeah.
But Shanna the She-Devil came from Hulk number 181.
Oh, okay. Which is?
Which is the first appearance of the Wolverine.
Right.
Which is for, I think, I'm pretty sure, I'm positive, never mind, I'm pretty sure, out of all the Clip'em and Collect'em books that they came into, that one is far and away the most expensive one.
Right.
So it's, you know, like an old adage in the collecting community. So could you make sure Shanna is there. Yeah. You know, make sure Shanna is in the Hulk before you buy it.
Could you imagine buying a 181 and then finding out that there's a page missing or something cut out of it?
Now, Chris, those little books, you send away for them. There were 16 pages.
Right.
And I think they were autographed by Stan Lee.
Cool.
And you
Excelsior.
Yes. You wrote them a letter and you say, hey, I'm clipping and collecting. And then I think you give $2 or something.
Right.
And you get this album to stick to value stamps in. And they have those things every now and then up on eBay.
Oh.
And they actually get good money.
Well, sure, yeah. It's, I mean, that took a long time to get
I would
stuff.
Want one, wouldn't you?
Sure, well, absolutely. Cool. Absolutely.
All right.
Okay, well, we should probably keep going here. We're slowly, fastly running out of time.
Slowly, fastly. All right, Chris, what we'll do then is we'll end.
I don't know what that meant. But
What's the segment called?
Feature.
And no, we'll end the industry news. And we'll head into our feature for. You know what's good about this feature is we've actually got to a feature.
We do.
Yeah, we cut everything short.
Well, you know, we did, and you know what? Clearly, we're running out of time in this show in general. And so, people keep on telling us that they want to hear more of the show.
They do. Which puzzles me.
Well, yeah, you know what puzzles me even more is that people listen to the show. But sure enough, I think it's the people that can't turn the dials on the radio station.
Yeah. Yes.
Honestly, I think we have to get to the feature of the show, which is, of course, Free Comic Book Day, which is coming up May 1st, this Saturday.
Chris, this Saturday
May 1st. May 1st.
And it's Free Comic Book Day across North America.
Yes, yes. Not just at your local comic book store, but all over North America.
All the local comic book stores.
Now, I have to digress for half a second here, because for those of you who aren't too aware of what Free Comic Book Day is, it is a day in which you can go to your local comic book retailer, and God willing that they're participating,
you can
go into the store and get free comic books, no purchase necessary, nothing at all done to you. You go in there and you pick up some free comic books and you leave. And really, this was done to help promote literacy and to help promote the comic book industry and give it a little bit of boost. And you know what? It certainly is boosting kids' readership and all kinds of great literacy things.
Yes, you're right. But the good thing about Free Comic Book Day that I like is it's becoming an important day for the publishers to try to snag new readers.
Yes.
So the publishers are starting to put a lot of time and effort into their Free Comic Book Day products.
Yes.
Which is nothing but good news for the people heading in to pick up their free comics, because they're not going to go in and pick up crap.
No.
They're going to go in and pick up some quality things designed
specifically for
Free Comic Book Day, specifically perhaps for new readers.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, you're going to go in there, pick up quality entertainment, I guess is the word, for free. And if your shop is worth anything, it'll have some sort of, you know, cookies or barbecue or something going on.
Yeah, something going on. Yeah.
Something silly for the kids.
Almost every comic book store I know is doing something that is not, they're not just handing out free comic books.
Right.
Like, for example, Big B Comics is having a barbecue.
Yeah.
I know that in the Toronto, Silver Snail is going to have a guest artist in there.
Yes.
I don't know who it is right now.
Right.
But I know
Blue Beetle Comics. Barry's giving away muffins. They have Superman appearing.
Right. So you know what? So there's every comic book store worth its measure really is taking a hold of this whole concept and really giving out free food and free comics. And it's just a great way of promoting the entire industry.
Yeah, I think what people have to, not have to, but what they can't lose sight of is for comic shops across North America, you know, as no matter how busy that store looks when you walk in that day,
yeah,
right, that store, in all likelihood, if they're doing it right, they're losing money.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Let's not forget that even though it's free comic book day for the people coming in and picking up free comics,
yes,
the stores themselves still have to buy the comics.
Yes. At like a bit of a subsidized price from Marvel and DC or Dark Horse and Image or whatever. Yep. But still, they have to pay.
Yes.
And, of course, they're paying for those special little things like food and like Superman and like
all
whatever.
That stuff.
And the whole idea, of course, is they wouldn't do it if, first of all, if they didn't believe that you're going to enjoy your comic book, right? They're basically, we're so convinced that this stuff is really good that if we send you away with a bunch of free ones, that hopefully you'll come back and buy a couple.
Right. Well, okay, you know what? Let's not... and we can extol the virtues of Free Comic Book Day for an hour.
Sure,
but unfortunately, we don't have an hour in this show. So I want to get into talking about what some of these comics that we're giving away are going to be.
Okay.
Now, I've been given this list and some pictures of free comic books, and it is astounding to me.
Astounding.
It really is. You know what? Okay. We've only got like 5 minutes left, and I don't have time to talk about all this stuff.
No.
So very quickly, I got to point out a few things here. There's a free Archie comic, Archie Summer Splash number one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's coming out. So, you know, right away.
Archie's very popular
right away,
guy right now.
For the kids, you know, get him into reading. Get him into reading Archie. What a great way into just getting him involved in comics. And then the next thing that really shoots out to me is the Iron Man Thor comic by Marvel. Again, it's going to be a crossover. It's got promotion for the Iron Man movie coming up.
I think Marvel obviously made an Iron Man one specifically for the movie. So that's going to be a super
that's
popular
fantastic.
One. At our shop, that's one of the ones that we ordered extra of.
And then, you know, very quickly, you know, you've got a Shrek comic coming out. You've got a Toy Story comic coming out.
The Shrek comic looks really
cool.
It
looks great. So you got some more kid-oriented stuff. Then you've got War of the Superman, which is a DC comic book coming out that has to do with Superman, and you know, again, it's created.
Yeah, that's a big. Isn't that a big DC arc happening this year? The War of the Superman.
It's coming out.
So that's kind of like the intro to the whole thing.
That's a big one.
Yeah.
And you know, so we've got the Marvel, we've got the DC, so we're hitting on some of the bigger ones.
What's the guy's name? Patterson's Mouse Guard.
There's
a Mouse Guard.
There's a Mouse Guard coming out as well.
Comic book
so for those of you that like the indie independent comic Mouse Guard, that's coming out. There's a G.I. Joe comic book coming out that's is going to be free as well.
Remember that novelty 12 Days of Christmas?
Where
they had all the old actors like Richard Burton did and Walter Cronkite would go 4 Super Newsmen.
That's right.
And then John Wayne would go 3 G.I. Joes.
Right.
All right, never mind. Or was it 3 Casablancas? 2 G.I. Joes?
I don't remember.
I'll stop.
Okay, please do. Thanks. Anyways, I just want to talk
about... Bongo Comics.
So I was getting to that. Bongo Comics. So for those of you who aren't aware, Bongo Comics is the Simpsons imprint of all the comic books. So there's going to be a free comic book, Bongo Comics.
Now, also for those that aren't aware, the Bongo Comics cover is an homage to Amazing Fantasy number 15, first appearance of Spider-Man.
Right.
So catch that if you'll notice.
Yes, and for those of you who are video game fans, there's going to be a Sonic the Hedgehog free comic book coming out. I know that it's not very well known, but I gotta give a plug to this guy. There's a comic coming out called Fearless Dawn, and it's not for everybody. But man, this guy's artwork is fantastic. It's got by a guy named Steve Mannon.
Mm-hmm.
He did a book earlier called The Bomb. I'm a huge fan of it, and I met the guy in Toronto last year. He got a sketch from him. Fantastic book, Fearless Dawn. Try to get it if your comic book shop has it. Moving on to the next one.
Chris, come on. We got about 37 more. We've only got a minute left.
DC Comics Kids Mega Sampler. It's if you want your kids to learn about the DC comic book heroes in a kid-friendly sort of way, DC Comic DC Kids Mega Sampler.
Spit it out.
So very quickly, if you're not even interested in reading comic books, if you want to know about collecting comic books, there's even an Overstreet Guide free comic book sampler.
You're right. I see that.
Seriously, like, this is fantastic. This blows my mind. Even for people that aren't even interested in reading comics, if you just want to collect them, there's a sampler. You can find out what's going on in the comic book community. I'm running out of time here. You know, we've got the Tick coming out. There's a cartoon of it. We've got Owly. We've got Oni Press.
Chris, you should be selling gold at this point right now. I give cash for your gold.
I get so excited about this stuff.
Okay.
Seriously, bring it in. You know what? Unfortunately, you know, we're running out of time. Go out to your local comic book shop this Saturday on May the 1st and check out Free Comic Book Day. Really, it's going to be a fantastic place to try new comics, find out about comics, and just get your kids interested in them, or maybe reevaluate what you like about comic books and get yourself back into it again. Please go out and support your local comic book retailer and have yourself a wonderful day.
And being out of town is not an excuse for what, because whatever town you're in will have a comic shop celebrating Free Comic Book Day. Enjoy Absolutely. The week. See everybody this Saturday at Free Comic Book Day.
Take care, guys.
Book it.